I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Hey friends, welcome back to What It Takes. Today's guest is someone who knows a thing or two about turning bold ideas into big headlines. I'm super excited to welcome Bryce North, the founder and CEO of Don't Be a Little Pitch, a company based out of Manila. And yes, you heard that. He is building a global brand from Southeast Asia and doing it with serious flair. Now, Bryce isn't your average founder. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's taken products to over 40 countries, landed offers on Canada's Dragon Den, and has raised over $600,000 through crowdfunding. But beyond the headlines, he's a master at something a lot of startups struggle with, and that's getting attention. Bryce has built his career by telling the right stories at the right time to the right people. He's been featured in major media, spoken on international stages, and helped other entrepreneurs to do the same. So if you've ever wondered how to get your startup seen, heard, and trusted, this one's for you. Welcome, Bryce, to the show.
It's awesome being here. And just a small correction, my team is full remote. I'm actually based out of US and Canada, so not in Manila. I've actually never been, but I have team members over there. So just—
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that in mind. Well, we threw that in there too, just seeing that because our team is also Filipino and I am too. So I know that they saw that and were just like, Jamie needs to know this so that she can talk about that. And I always like have just a heart for people who are working in the Philippines or just having that connection. And so I think that's definitely, but thank you for the clarification. So let's start at the beginning. What sparked the idea for Don't Be a Little Pitch?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say my life's always been around in creating and innovating, and I've been a serial entrepreneur myself. When I say that, like I've actually gone out, built products, those that sold in Walmart and Best Buy, scaled around the world, and I created actual IoT and hardware and different software applications. I've never done a dollar in paid ads, never done any social media, and I'm from a small city in Canada no one's really heard about, and I made a name for myself all over the US just by telling good stories. And so that's how this kind of came into it, is that I got really good at growing and making people fall in love with our story and just trust us in the manner they wanted to work with us, that I had a lot of other people saying, well, how did you do this? Can you help me out with this? And I never chose PR, it chose me. And I truly believe that those that can actually help you out there are those that have actually been in the grind, that had those rock bottom inspirational moments. And I'm not a marketer these days that doesn't know how to market it themselves. I feel like a lot of people who have agencies are just doing that. But for myself, I come from experience and everyone on my team is someone who's built, created, failed, and just growth hacked their way to success.
I love that because I find that that's really true. Like we're not getting to this point by winning at everything, right? A lot of the most valuable lessons come from some of the like hardest times. And so you've clearly nailed that art of standing out. What role do you feel like, how do you feel like what contributed to that early success? You talked about telling the stories, but people have to hear those stories. How did maybe even crowdfunding play into that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I find is that in order to actually be successful, I have two laws when it comes down to this. One is that people are attracted to other people's rough edges. It's a vulnerability, that trust. We talk about it. We glorify failure sometimes, but everyone still doesn't want to go out and say why they really suck and how they failed. I mean, take a look at yourself and your superheroes, don't you? You've got nothing in common with them. You've always been putting them on a pedestal. And you shouldn't be doing that with your clients, the people you want to work with. You've got to humanize yourself in order for them to see, hey, he or she went through that. Like, I can relate. So that vulnerability comes through and says, okay, this is what I've done. And this is what I became. And this is how I pushed through. And this is what I've learned. And then when people actually trust you, they become more than just fans, as evangelists that kind of scream your story alongside of you. And then once we accomplish rule number one here, we always move into rule number two. People buy better versions of themselves, whether that is, you know, better outtakes or more freedom financially or time or just whatever that is. They follow their leaders for a reason. And so when you take a look at this, the biggest thing for success for myself and the people we help, we go out there and we build actual storylines, real vulnerable moments that actually make people look like gurus, really speaks to their stories, but also at the same time, separates them from their product because they are not their products. They are their own entity, the gurus and leaders in the space that dictate where this market is going, and be authentic and true. And when people believe in that, then they're going to buy the solutions, the products, and whatever other thing they're really working on.
That's really great. And I like those two rules to live by. How did you kind of learn that those were two things that you wanted to really highlight and stick to?
No one really cared about my successes when I was like, I did a lot of public speaking. I got invited like literally around the world to talk about my rock bottom moments. No one really cared. You made $1 million in Kickstarter in 30 days. That's interesting. A lot of people made a lot of money. Or you grew your company to 20 countries in like 6 months, 7 months. Okay, cool. But can you tell me the time when you got dumped and your bike got stolen and your friend broke up with you and you lost all your money in 8 hours? Like, I'm interested on that. And so I go and tell these stories and everyone's like, oh, damn, like this is real. And so I got more business out of that more than anything else. It's just because people are like, okay, I can trust you. And when it comes down to like doing business with people, the one thing I learned from this is that people or clients or customers that you're working with just want you to care about their business as much as they do. And so how can you show that? You show it through trust. If you can open yourself up and be comfortable with the fact that this is kind of my rough edges, people are going to be a little more open to sharing their vulnerabilities in their business. So you're not taking advantage of them, and together you kind of work together to solve that.
Yeah, I think we have similar approaches in that. And that's why this podcast is called What It Takes, because I think not a lot of people are talking about what it actually takes. I mean, we see people getting to the places that they are today and you see their success and whatnot, but a lot of them tend to highlight that side of things, like the pretty, you know, wrapped up bow. But you and I both though, even just getting here, this is our second go at trying to record this podcast, and I have very similar. I was just like, hey, look, we screwed up. This is what happened, you know, and I just feel like that's missing in everyday life. And it's crazy because like what for me, I wanted to get from you is how did you stand out? How did you build credibility? How did this and this? And everything you're saying to me is like, absolutely, that's how you did it. You were just honest and like, here's what my real story is. Here's what we actually did. And you're right. I do think that people appreciate that. I know that that's how I kind of operate too. And I find that I've never really thought about a process to intentionally do it this way. So I'm really interested in like you now having all these systems and everything in place in that. And I think a lot of founders think that PR is just about luck or connections, but it's very clear that you have specific things that you're looking to intentionally build. What are some practical steps that you recommend for a startup to start building that visibility?
Number one, question every single agency you talk to, because I think agencies are inherently crappy and take your money. They're all a big black box and you don't know what they're doing with your money. And I think a lot of people just, you know, have false promises. So like the biggest thing for yourself, at least kind of we do, is understand the post action. And that comes with like, you know, like my background's venture capital as well. When you raise money, investors want to know not necessarily what you're doing with that money, but or where you're going to spend that money, but like what happens after you spend that money and where are you going from that? Same thing with PR and stories. It's just, you want to get people's attention. Here's the secret. The media doesn't care about what's interesting. They care what drives clicks. Okay. And so if you are not known, if you're not seen, if you are featured in Forbes or TechCrunch or whatever it is, and no one's heard of you, they're not going to click on you. And then these outlets are not going to ask you to come back. You're not going to be a source for them. So I think a lot of people always want the biggest and the best. I mean, it's an instant gratification, we know. Don't kind of beat that down. But if you want to do things right, you got to understand how to create multiple storylines around your brand, the actual brand itself, and then your customers. We'll get to that in a second. But when you create these storylines, you're creating this foundation of trust. I don't do lead gen, I do trust gen. I do the moments when people Google you and find you, there's no other option but to act and do business with you than considering other alternatives. And I think that's the biggest issue people like stray away from these days, is that they just want to aim for business right away and, you know, get the leads and get the traffic. You can convert so much better if you do the one thing a lot of people are missing out, is set that foundation of what's important. And here is that kicker I said about before. Like, people don't care about what your product is half the time. They care that you care about their business. And so how do we champion our clients? Myself, I talk about cultural highlights and customer journeys. If you want to be a hero in your industry, you don't promote yourself. You don't promote your products. You promote the people that actually are using your systems or solutions or tools or products and their transformations and their journeys. You make them a champion, a hero in the media. Tell their stories as a byproduct. They bring you up with them. You're no longer this egotistical, why I'm great. It's more so, this is how this person, their issues, their problems that people can relate with, how they grew. This is the moment where we build a lot of connection. This is where we relate with a lot of customers and a lot of founders. And then when that happens, people care about your culture a little bit more. Can they trust you through that? So we're going through and setting that foundation more and more about, okay, what's the real outlook of how you live and breathe? But more importantly, aside from fake testimonials and, you know, fake videos on people's websites, let's talk about the real stuff, the media, who actually is a good source when it's done right, about how to actually tell your story and the people you're working with.
Oh, that's so great. And let's talk a little bit about brand voice then, because I think that's really like, don't be a little pitch. It's bold. It's edgy. How has that helped you guys, or maybe even challenged you guys with your PR strategy?
I was a little scared to put this out there just because, like, my small city, I'm Winnipeg in Canada. I got asked to not mention my name for speaking opportunities. I got stopped being asked for speaking, and I'm no longer affiliated with a lot of people there because they hated the name so much. They found it way offensive. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do I even launch this to the world? I'm like, screw it. I'm going to go do it. I've get so much business from this name, and it's incredible the amount of people that reach me. Like, billion-dollar companies and brands reaching out to chat with me, to like smaller ones as well. Anyone that's willing to put, like, do they say risk your reputation? I'm not doing that. Anyone that's willing to put that out there, you know, has enough balls or courage to actually go and do that is someone I want in my court. And so I feel like you have to polarize people. You play in the middle, you're not different. You're just a commodity, but you're polarizing people on one end. This means you're going to have haters and people who actually despise you. We get a lot of hate email. We really do. But I also get a lot of love. And that love is like so clear to the point of they're ready to move and work. And, you know, we can have a lot of fun with it and stick out and be different and tell stories that are interesting, because our biggest secret is humor. I mean, making people laugh through all the crap. You tell me cold email doesn't work anymore. My main business is driven on cold email. And every response I get is, this is hilarious. I never respond. We need to meet.
That's really cool. And I love that, because I do think when you have kind of both sides of the fence, like one leg in each side, you're really kind of, you know, it's that lukewarm, like you don't ever want to be lukewarm. And I think I resonate much more with my own personal experience with people who just know what they think. And whether I agree with them or not, I don't have to agree with you to respect you. And, you know, you might be on the other side of the opinion, but there's that mutual, like, hey, like, at least you're making a stand, or you're standing on what it is that you believe. I don't believe those things, but I trust you that you're able to, you know, kind of communicate that. So that's a really good takeaway. I'm having a lot of like aha moments with everything that you're saying. It's really resonating with me, and just how we kind of operate as my own company internally, and our culture and the things that we do, and just that philosophy of just being transparent and open and honest, and, you know, really standing on what we truly believe and like all that kind of stuff and living that out. I think that's a lot. And I don't realize how intentional we actually are. But for you to be talking about it in a way that's really like strategy for a PR firm is like, huh, I think, you know, there really is something to this. So looking back, what's something that you wish you knew about PR media when you started out? Because I'm certainly learning a lot from this conversation that we've maybe been doing all along, just not really knowing the intentionality or strategy behind it, that we could, if now that I have this information, I'm like, okay, now we need to start doing this. Like, really, this needs to be part of our everyday thing. What are some of those things that you wish you knew?
You don't need relationships in PR in order to actually get coverage. And like, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, we want to work with this agency because you have a lot of relationships. You've been doing this for years. I outperform so many agencies, and I don't really have as many relationships as them. Because here's the thing, like, I actually have friends who work in TechCrunch and Forbes, but just because they're my friends, they're not going to cover everyone I bring to them. Like, their reputation's on the line. So the one thing I really learned is that if you actually understand how to properly pitch and tell an interesting story, and you're diligent in following up and building relationship with people, that's the biggest thing. It's hard. It takes time. That's why people hire us. I aim for no's. Like, I aim for quick failures right away on everything that I do in terms of like with our clients or ourselves, because I don't want to, yes, I'm going to feature you, because that's a one-off sometimes. I want to, no, this is not a good fit, because I go back and say, well, what are you writing about? And I will not get an answer from that. And I come back and say, this is what you wrote. That's interesting. This is probably a content gap or something you should write about in the future based upon what's trending. but I don't know if this is a good idea or not. What are you writing about? And so we have these conversations like, I'm not doing AI anymore. I'm doing marketing spend. I'm like, oh, great. Like my client's got this story. And so you become not just a moment of luck and timing to fit into their stories. You become a source of information and cultural trends and trends for their industry that they're leaning on. I aim for those relationships in terms of, hey, can I pick your brain on what we should write about? You seem to know exactly what's going on. Other than timing's perfect. I got a story coming up that's going to cover this. You guys would be a great listicle, number 101 on the list. Like, I don't like that stuff. So biggest thing I learned is, like anyone who's launching a product, go talk to your customers. Go listen to the market. What you think your customers want, what I think, what all the professionals think are inherently, one of us are just less wrong than the other. Who people actually know are the clients themselves. So same with the media. They know what's trending. Talk to them. Be a friend. Don't just try to sell them.
That's great. And before we wrap up, we always ask this one final question. It's the heart of the show. In your experience, what does it really take to be a business owner?
I think you gotta ask yourself, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And
oh,
I think that's
so good.
That's the biggest thing out here, because everything we do this and everything we act on, we hold back. And it's not necessarily because we're scared of failing, but how do people perceive us? Like, that is what always holds us back. So once you figure out that post you put out there, that story, the worst case scenario is nothing happens. No one's going to attack you. Nothing's going to happen. That's the worst case. So ask yourself that question. And if you can kind of live through that and be a little more fearless and just say, screw it. I'm going to just throw it out there and do it, and then screw up to the point where I'm making people a little bit angry. Only goodness comes from that.
I love that. But a lot of us are afraid to step out and rock the boat and make people angry. You know, it's a hard thing to do. I think it's a hard thing to do. And I love that approach of what would you do if you weren't afraid? That's a really big barrier. And it sounds so simple, but it's so hard. And a lot of times people spend their whole career not even getting to be able to make decisions like that. So that's great stuff. Bryce, I love your approach. It's bold, it's intentional, and honestly, like, really super refreshing. You've shown us that good PR isn't just about like flashy headlines or, you know, a cool name of your company. It's about actually like owning your story and putting it in front of the right people. And I think that can be really scary for business owners or for anybody, any individual really, just to be truly open and authentic and being willing to tell the story. So thank you so much for sharing that journey, your mindset, and your strategy with us today. I have a lot of key takeaways. For those tuning in, be sure to check out Don't Be a Little Pitch. Where can people find you if they're looking for you?
Go to our website. I mean, it's pretty easy to Google us. Not a lot of people have that name, but Instagram, yeah. LinkedIn. I mean, we're kind of all over the place. Go find a story, like it, follow us, and, you know, and see if we can help you follow your dreams.
Yeah, and we can put all that stuff in our show notes as well. So whether you're looking to sharpen your brand, make your mark in the media, this is where you want to be. We'll catch you next time on What It Takes. Thanks so much, Bryce.
Thanks, Rob.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.